vote of prayer. 163 of the token, which we read last night, we're going to get into this a little bit more this morning. Brother Bram said, when anything sealed inside of a seal, you better not break it. Can't break it. Not God's seal, no. For you are, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed until the day of your redemption, when the bodies raise up. It is a seed, a sign that the seed has been germinized with eternal life. Zoe, my own life. And I'll raise it up again at the last day. And as you walk, you have confidence that the life of Christ is in you. We're going to talk about this confidence this morning. He says, when you walk, you have confidence that the life of Christ is in you, and you are in Him. By one Spirit, we're all baptized into one body and sealed there by the Holy Ghost among the believers like this until the day that Jesus raises us up again. Oh my, apply the token. That's what it means to us. We expect the sacrifice to give us life. And it does. And then in 1 John 5 and verse 9, if we receive a witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which He has testified of His Son. He that believeth on the Son of God echoes the witness in himself. Because why? Remember, Brother Brown said, you can't be a believer unless you have the Holy Ghost. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of His Son. And this is the record that God hath given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. And he that echoes the Son echoes life, and he that echoes not the Son of God echoes not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. It's one thing to have it, it's another thing to know you have it. And that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in Him. That if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. Sure. And if we know that He hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we desired of Him. May the Lord add His blessing to His word this morning, if we just bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we see these tremendous words coming forth from Your word. And from your prophet, talking about the confidence that we have in knowing. And as John said, this is the confidence that when we go to prayer, we know you're going to hear us. Because our life is living. We are died. We have dead. We're just dead to ourselves, Father. But it's you that's living our life for us. And then when we know that we go to prayer, it's you praying on our behalf. Your Holy Spirit interceding for us. And asking the request, and Lord, we have confidence that not only will you hear us, because it's you speaking, but that we'll get our request. And so, Lord, with these great words, we ask you to bless the service today. And may give us confidence, Father, as we move more into this 2016, knowing that last year was a real shaker-up of a time for the nations. Nations were breaking and Israel's awakening. And all these things, Lord, the Bible foretold. And Lord, we know that the Gentile days are numbered with horrors and covered. Return, O disperse, to your own. Hallelujah. Be with us this morning, Father. Help us, O God, to enter into Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And you may be seated. Now, we've just read two of the most important sentences that you may ever read from the spoken word of God and from the written word of God. So I just like to put them down together as in one thought here so that you can understand. He says, as you walk, you have confidence. As you walk, see, if you walk in the light as He's in the light, you're walking. It's not like you're just sitting back as a couch potato and God sent a prophet, so I'm really happy God sent a prophet. You're walking with Him. You're walking in the light, the same light that He walked in, because the same one, the same light is here. And if you walk, He says, as you walk, it builds up your confidence. You have confidence that the life of Christ is in you, and you are in Him. And then when we read from 1 John 5 and 13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Oh, to know it. Not just to guess it, not just to have a theology, not just say, well, we had a great teacher, a great prophet. But to know it in here. Hallelujah. There's nothing like it. Because then John goes on to say, that if you know that you have eternal life, he said, and this is the confidence that we have in you, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. Did you give your testimony?
Would I?
No, did you?
Did I?
Well, I'll give it for you if you don't mind. Brother Gary, you know, he's been praying a lot to see John 14:12 manifested in his life. And God allowed it to happen this week. Sammy was, as you know, he'd been pretty sick. I mean, he's had this congestion and he couldn't get rid of it. No matter what he did, I guess he was taking some type of pills, you know, to get rid of it. And, you know, they say you should only take so many of them. And so he was telling his dad, you know, Gary just said, well, you know, son, you're taking too many of them. So Gary prayed for him and the Lord healed him up. You see, the effectual perfect prayer of a righteous man availeth. And so it's wonderful to see just things that we struggle with, and then when we finally turn it over to God, what happens? All right. So I'm glad to hear that. And he says, and if we know that he hears us, that's the confidence right there. See, your confidence is you know he hears you.
Sure.
I've cleaned up my life. I'm living my life for you, Lord. I'm doing everything I can to die to myself. And now I know that you'll hear me. And so whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we desire. Now apply that to the family. Amen. Just think. To know that you're walking with him. And that he is actually walking with you and living your life for you. And it has to give you confidence that if you ask anything in his name, he'll not only hear you, to know whatever you ask, every desire, he's there to hear. In reading our text with the words untranslated, it reads, he that echoes the Son echoes life. And he that echoes not the Son of God echoes not life. Now that means that since God is a fountain of life, and John 5:26 tells us, for as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. He wouldn't be a son if he hadn't been received life from the Father. I mean, that's just common sense. So we see that the life comes from the Father, and then it is given unto his Son. And in reading this scripture also with the word echo left untranslated, it reads like this. John 5:26, for as the Father echoes life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to echo life in himself. Why? Because, if anybody's ever had their heart checked, you get an echocardiogram. It's checking the echo of the heart to make sure that it's over and over and over and over again. As the Father meditated over and over and over in his thoughts, as he meditated before the foundations of the world, thinking about you and you and you and you, thinking about all of you, just... you were in his mind for the foundation of the world. And it wasn't just one time. It was echoing over and over and over and over and over until it began to come into formation, into manifestation. And that little heart began to beat within the womb. Over and over and over and over. God, life, God, life, God, life, God, life. You being his germ, his seed. And the very life of God echoing over and over and over again. For as the Father echoes life in himself, so hath he given the Son to echo life in himself. And as the heart pumps the blood over and over to echo forth the life in the body, so through the Father's word, which is his life, echoed over and over and over again in his mind. And then when it began to come forth from the Father, the same echo of life moved forward into manifestation, first into the Son and then into sons. And listen carefully to what Brother Bram says about this. From who do you say this is? He said, just notice how few recognized him to be the anointed word of that day. You see, God in the beginning, being infinite, and knowed all things from the beginning, and the only thing that these things are is a display of his attributes. An attribute. You know, you have an attribute. It's your thoughts. You think of something, then you speak it, then you take it. That's God. He in the beginning, if you ever was or ever will be in heaven, you was in heaven to start with. You are a part of God. You were his thoughts. He knew your name. He knew who you were before there was a molecule, before there was a light, before there was anything. He knew you and your name and put it on the Lamb's Book of Life before the world was ever formed. See, you were his thought, and then you become a word, and a word is a thought expressed, and then you're manifested. all that he foreknew, he hath already glorified. Justified, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, glorified. It's already a done deal because it's been echoing in his mind, echoing, and eventually he spoke it, echoing, and now he's manifesting it. It's the same life beating in you and in me. Hallelujah. That's the way he was. He was in the beginning by himself. God dwelt alone with his thoughts. He'll never do that again because his thoughts are being made manifest. Oh, brother. And that's why we are right here this day. Is God fellowshipping with his thoughts being made manifest. See, there we are. So you, by taking thought, cannot add one cubit to your stature. You cannot do this or that or other. It's God that showeth mercy. It's God. All the Father has given me will come to me, and no man can come except my Father draws him. That settles it. Now listen, God echoing in his Son. The Son says, I can't, my doctrine is not mine. It's my Father's. I'm echoing. The works that I do, my Father did. The Son is doing likewise. I'm echoing. And you shall do likewise. And echo. It's life pulsating. It's like a heartbeat pulsating through your heart, through your vessel, through your soul. It's God in you. It's Christ in you. What? The hope of glory. The hope of coming into his value. The hope of his opinions. The hope of his judgments, his standards. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And it's pulsating through every one of you. That's the beauty of the echo. Hallelujah. All the Father has given me will come to me, and no man can come except my Father draws him. That settles it. See? Now we can see that 1 John 5 and 12 is a perfect echo of 2 John 9, in the sense that both speak of this great echo of life that comes forth from God and was echoed by the Son, and then by us who are able to receive the doctrine of Christ. Let's just read 2 John 9. Whosoever does not keep pace with or goes beyond the limits of the doctrine of Christ echoes not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he echoes both the Father and the Son. Now, for any who might think that this talk on the echoing the Son echoes life is just my thoughts, let me show you what William Branham said, the same thing. From Come Let Us Reason Together, he said, and now, not knowing nothing about you, this is our first time meeting in life, if Jesus will tell me what you come up here to ask him about. Now you come up, not to see Brother Branham, you come up to see the Lord Jesus. And now you believe that I'm just like this microphone, see? See this microphone. The microphone can't speak lest something speaks through it. See, it's just a piece of metal. It's got to have a sound here to hit it first before it will echo. See, so he had to hear it from Jesus Christ. Then he spoke it. Then you heard it. And now you speak it. For it'll carry out. Now, that's the way I am. I'm just like the microphone, see? Now, there has to be some real intelligence behind here, something that knows you and knows all about you and knows what you're here for to speak through these lips to say that. Is that right? Now, the audience believes that. Don't you, audience? See? Because we don't know each other, but he can tell me, and then you can believe him. Notice, he can tell me. Then what does Brother Ram do? He tells you. He's just echoing. That's what thus saith the Lord is. And Brother Ram said the bride will have thus saith the Lord, or shall keep still. We'll echo what God says, or we just have no words to say. Now let's look at what Jesus says about himself. Notice in the next four verses of Scripture, Jesus tells us exactly what Brother Branham said here. John 12:49, he says, for I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. So the Father speaks it to the Son, and then the Son speaks it to us. 12:50. And I know that this is the command, that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. That's an echo. John 14:31. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise and let us go hence. And John 15:10. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. In other words, if I keep them, I'm going to do them. It's like an action to a reaction, or a reaction to an action. It's an echo. Our reaction to an action should be an echo, you see. Now, let's examine what Brother Branham says concerning this echoing back of God's word. From conference, he says, let's just think. I can see Gabriel come down, his great sword, standing by his side. I can see Wormwood. I can see the other great angels lighting on the rocks around. And what is it? A conference table being set. Then that Holy Spirit of God, as we see on the picture of Gethsemane, that light, which God is light, El Elohim, the self-existing one, when he came down into his presence. Now, do you want to go through with his son? What? The angels are listening. What's going to be the result? The whole world lays upon your shoulders. Do you want to pay the price? Or do you want to do it? You can come right now, without death. There lays Calvary before you. There, they'll spit in your face, and they'll take you to Calvary. All these things, you'll die in agony with the crown of thorns on your head, and the blood will drain out. Are you willing? Now let's see what the echo is going to be. All angels are standing around, wondering what's taking place now. The decision's made. What is it? Not my will, but thy will be done. That's your echo. That's your echo. Not my will, Father, your will. I want to echo you, not me. Hallelujah.
Amen.
From one against organized religion, Brother Ransom, notice this is the angel of light. Remember the last angel, it's the angel of the church age to the Laodicea. It's the angel, it's the Laodicea messenger that it's the last. Because the very next chapter is the 19th chapter, which is the coming bride. And this is, in the scripture, the last angel that came to bring light before the coming of the bride to go meet Christ. It was the Laodicea church age then. What was the Laodicea church age messenger? Calling them out of Babylon. Look, church is caught in her cage with her dogmas, denying the word and accepting dogmas. This is the angel of light to the Laodicean church that had rejected Christ and his word for dogma and had put him outside. And he stood at the door knocking, trying to get in. See? You see it? The church age had rejected the Christ, and Christ is the Word, and had rejected it, and he was on the outside. The only church age that we have of Christ on the outside knocking, trying to get in. And this angel's messenger, come from God, was echoing his message on the earth to come out of Babylon, come out of organization. The Holy Spirit today, the manifestation of the Holy Spirit, is that angel trying to get the people back to the Word, because the Holy Spirit will only vindicate the Word. It can't vindicate dogmas. There's no life in them. He's life. Notice the Laodicean church age had denied him, rejected him, and had put him on the outside. Notice this angel to the last messenger before the coming of Christ in the 18th chapter of Revelation, the messenger's voice. If we notice, when he gave his voice on the earth, there was a voice echoed again in heaven. Fourth verse, if you want to read it again, fourth verse, the 18th chapter. This messenger was on the earth, was so inclined with God until when he spoke it on the earth, God echoed the same thing out of heaven. What is that fourth verse translation? What does it mean? God's voice speaking to his predestinated people, saying, come out of her. Just exactly what the voice was. He's got people all out in there, all through Babylon, come out of her, that you be not partaker of her sins. Yes, sir, out of that dogma and creeds to the Word made spirit and made life. You know, it just hit me right now. The Lord descends with what?
A shout.
A shout. What is a shout? What is it's a message, but what is a shout? It's a loud voice, right?
Amen.
And then what comes after the shout? The voice. And Brother Branham said it's the same voice that raised Lazarus from the grave. Amen. Notice, what did he do? He said, Lazarus, come forward. You got a shout and a shout. You got a shout and a loud voice. You got a shout and you got an echo. You've got the voice of God through a prophet, and now you have the voice of God reflecting in the people. You've got the voice of God bringing forth a inner transformation, and now you have the voice of God echo, bringing forth not only inner transformation, but it'll bring forth an outer transformation. Shout, voice, same thing. One's a message, the other's a reflection of the message. Hallelujah. Brings forth resurrection. When the people are so echoing the shout, you watch the resurrection, it has to take place. Amen. Same principle. When greater than Solomon is here, he said there must be a supernatural sign from God to vindicate. No matter how real, how deep it was in theology, how great it sounded, still, if God's supernatural sign didn't vindicate it, it wasn't so to the Jew. Now, the Old Testament, the Aaron's plate was done away with the Old Covenant, but in the New Covenant, God still remains with the Urim Thummim. That is, if a prophet, a dreamer, a theologian, or whatever it is, speaks something that's contrary to the Word and don't echo back, God don't echo it back through the Word, I'll let it alone. For it's God's Urim Thummim, and I believe it with all my heart that it's God's Word. Now, what is he saying here? If God don't echo it back. In other words, that when that spoken Word goes forth, if the man speaking is not echoing what God said, God is not obligated to echo it into manifestation. Remember, before the foundation of the world, we were in him. What was he doing? Meditating. What was he doing? Echoing. How many times did he think of you, Peter? Or Gary? How many times did he think of you? I don't know. Millions? Billions? He had a whole eternity to do it. But think of every attribute and every characteristic that you will ever have, that you ever had. To echo it over and over and over, play the scenarios out. Okay, if I give him this attribute, he's going to do this. If I give him this attribute with this, oh, it's going to be this way. You see, God worked out every single detail. Every single detail. It's like the chemist. You know, he works it as well. Now, I've got this wheat and I've got this wheat. And this one is long term. It needs a lot of water. This one here, you know, it'll take down drought. You know, and so the chemist, he looks and he's bringing those two together and he produces something that's going to give him exactly what he wants. And that's what God did in Himself before the foundations of the world to make sure when the voice came forth, you had something in you to react to it. You see, every single plant has receptors, what they call receptors. And in that plant, it has characteristics that will that can take sun or it can't take sun. You know, you've got fungus that grows on the north side because it can't take direct light, so it lives off the life of those who can. We've got people in the message just like that. They live off the life of those who are laying in the presence of the sun, but they can't take the direct light themselves. You see? So you've got all kinds of things in nature. Just let us know how every single one of us, you know, we have a growth rate, we have all these attributes, characteristics. When the light hits the plant, you know, the plant responds to the light, it grows up toward the light. I mean, all these things, when the light of God shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost, it draws us to the light. I mean, it's just in nature, you see it in nature, you see it in the spiritual. And God, over and over and over in His mind, before He ever spoke a word, the very first one, His pattern for all sons, He spoke, and the Logos, His Son Jesus, because God is Logos, and His Son came forth, and He dwelt with Him before the foundations of the world. And God said, okay, now we're going to begin creation. Okay, son, where do you want the moon? Oh, Dad, I'd like it over there. Okay, there it is. Where do you want the moon and the stars and all this other? Just like a husband brings home the food. Jesus, the wife says, okay, I'll prepare it. He brings home, he gives her the money, he brings home things. And she says, okay, I'm going to use this money for the wall, picture on the wall, I'm going to do this, this, this. She dresses up the home, she makes it just exactly the way that makes it comfortable for him. The Son of God, before the foundation of the world, Brother Rand said, he was like that little light playing before the great door of God's eternity. God said, okay, let there be stars. And the sun said, ooh, I like that pattern up there. That's a big dipper. Let's make a little dipper over here. And he said, you have enough deity in you to create worlds. And to go live them. All right. So he says, if a prophet or a dreamer or a theologian or whatever it is speaks something that's contrary to the word and God don't echo it back through the word, then I'll let it alone. In other words, the manifestation is the echo of the revelation. The revelation is inside. It's spoken. That's an echo. Manifestation is an echo. It's all the continuity of the life of God. Demonology, listen, when God breathed into to Adam the breath of life, it wasn't a one-time deal. Adam kept breathing. He just didn't take a hold this one because it's a good one. No, it kicked in life. It was the breath of lives, plural. Hallelujah. From demonology to religious, Brother Branson said, now, then the Urim Thumb today is the Bible. If somebody has given a prophecy or a dream and don't compare or echo with God's Bible, it's false. Don't believe it. Now notice, when God speaks, that is the original seed. But when he makes manifest his word, or shall we say God interprets his word by bringing it to pass, that is the manifestation of the spoken word, and the manifestation is the echo of the same voice and the same life. So when you see it, we go back to the very beginning, the confidence, Brother Matt said, when you walk, there's a confidence that you're one with him. When you walk in the light, as he is in the light, he's walking, you're walking, he's walking, you're walking. There's an echo, there's a conversation going on, but there's an echo of life. And Brother Matt said, if you don't compare or echo with the Bible, it's false, just leave it alone. So we see then this echo moving down, moving down, moving down from invisible to audio, spoken word, to manifestation. It's the same word. The same word that was crucified, the same Lamb of God that was crucified before the foundations of the world, Brother Brown said, that was just as much a done deal in God's mind as when it physically took place. Why? Because it's an echo. That, you know, get in the shower sometime and just yell, and you hear it 3, 4, 5 times, maybe. Big enough shower, you hear it maybe more. It's the same sound each time. Done the same way, the same emphasis, the same, you know, the same all the way through. When God thought it, and it echoed off in his mind, in his mind, in his mind, then he spoke it. He didn't speak something different than what was in his mind. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. He spoke the same thing. And then what happened? That same thing become manifest. It's the same thing. It's an echo. It's an echo. It's an echo. Now, I like what Brother Bam is telling us in these quotes, because it's John 14:12. Jesus said, the works that I do, you will do. That's an echo. In other words, the works that I do, your life will echo by doing the same. The words that I have spoken, your life will manifest them. And that will be the right interpretation of the revelation, because God interprets his word by bringing it to pass. So when you see the word of God manifested, it's an echo of the original seed. You see? Hallelujah. Well, what if you see it in yourself? Then you know what? The spoken word, which is the original seed, that'll let you know that, hey, what I'm seeing taking place in my life, God spoke it. Not only did God spoke it, but that gives me confidence that I was in his thoughts before the foundations of the world. Hallelujah. Amen. Because all I'm seeing is an echo. And an echo of the original. From the spoken word's original seed, said the word of God continually goes out. I'm told that if we could pick up an instrument that could catch it, that a man's voice, my voice, that I speak today, 10,000 years from now, could still be picked up in the air. It'd be like dropping a pebble in the middle of the pond, and a teeny little waves after wave after wave, they fail to be seen by the eye, continue on till it hits the bank. And the airwave of our voices continually travels around and around and around the world. Therefore, then, our voice, what we say, will be our judgment. Our testimony will rise right up against us. Our own voices will echo in our own ears at the judgment bar of God. When his great instrument catches every voice that's been spoken, every word that's ever been muttered. So my question to you is, what are you echoing today? Because what you echo today will be played back at the white throne judgment. than if all our words are the words of our Father, God, then won't it be a wonderful experience at the white throne judgment? Amen. Listen, then they... let me just get it out of here. Malachi 3:16. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. And the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. Thought first, because out of the abundance of the heart, is what? The mouth speaking. Thought first, then spoken, then the Lord heard it, then he wrote it down. Echo, 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 echo. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, as the Lamza says, on that day when I will assemble my people, and I will spare them as a man spares his own son. That serves him. Hallelujah. Amen. 1 John 5 and verse 12. He that echoes the Son echoes life. He that echoes not the Son of God echoes not life. In other words, our life in Christ becomes an echo of the Father's words for everyone to hear. For the Son of God echoes forth the words of the Father, and when we echo His words, we're echoing the words of God. And did you know that the Son of God was so single-focused that He shut out everything that was not from the Father? That's our challenge in this hour. Now remember when we spoke of the parable in the parables series, what Jesus said in Matthew 6:22, He said, "The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light." And we know He was speaking of being single-focused. When He's saying, "If therefore thine eye be single," He's not talking about, you know, having one eye like the Cyclops. He's talking about being single-focused. As Jesus was so single-focused, and He says, then we'll be full of light. For if thy eye be evil, that means if your focus becomes deviated from the truth, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is thy darkness? We find in Isaiah 42:19 that the Scripture teaches us that the Son of God was so blind to everything except God's Word. And He was so deaf to everything but what God said to Him. From the King James Version, we read, "Who is blind but my servant, or deaf as my messenger that I sent? Who is blind as he that is perfect, and blind as the Lord's servant?" Now, He's not talking about having a servant who's blind and deaf. How could that person, if he's blind and deaf, be a servant? He's talking about he was blind and deaf to everything except for what the Master wanted him to do. The Rotherham translation says, "Who is blind if not my servant? Or deaf like my messenger that I sent? Who is blind like an intimate friend is blind? Or blind like the servant of Yahweh?" What does he mean? Blind like the intimate friend is blind. Because love covers a multitude of sin. Friends don't pick apart friends when, you know, they have little faults. They just say, "Well, that's just who they are, but I love them anyway." You understand? Then why don't we do that with husbands and wives? You see? Notice Jerusalem Bible. Who is so blind as my servant, so deaf as the messenger that I send? In other words, it should read, "Who in all the world is as blind as my servant? Who is designed to be my messenger of truth? Who is so blind as my dedicated one, the servant of the Lord?" That's why Brother Brad says the bride has the word, and she knows what to do with it. And she has, "Thus saith the Lord," or she just keeps still. Why? She's single focused. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. Amen. And the things of this world will grow strangely dim. Amen. In the light of His glory and grace. So we see that Jesus Christ was so absolutely blind concerning anything that was contrary to God's word, God's will, and God's purpose. Now this brings us to our text this morning, to know that we have life. And the importance of these words. Look, what comfort to know that you're part of His great plan. What comfort to know that God chose you out of the billions of people in this world. He chose you to hear and to recognize and to act upon His word. What comfort that ought to give you. to know that we echo life. It brings rest. And if we know that we echo life, our whole nature changes, and thus our relationship with God changes, and thus we enter into such a peace that no man could ever rob you of your confidence in your relationship to God, and thus God's Word. They might attack what you preach. It just causes you to go deeper and deeper into the Word. It builds the confidence. It builds the relationship. And when you know that you've been called, like Joseph. Joseph had those dreams. His brothers, they didn't want to hear him. Oh, you're just talking about yourself. He wasn't talking about himself. But he was part of that dream. And God gave him those dreams, and his brothers said, let's get rid of him. Here comes the dreamer. That's what it says right in the Bible. He was 17 years old when he was positionally placed, when he was adopted by his father, positionally placed in the family. And he had a position of leadership, and he had brothers that were in their 30s, still hadn't grown up yet, still out wanting to chase the women when they're chasing the sheep. He said, go down and check on your brothers. Make sure the sheep are okay. In other words, make sure that they're doing what they're supposed to be doing. A 17-year-old coming to a 30-some-year-old, 35-year-old man. They knew that he was checking up on them. That was his job. My will is to please my father. That's the way Joseph was. Hallelujah. So God does what? God positionally places him through his father. Then God begins to give him dreams and shows him, hey, this isn't the end of it. It's not just a bunch of sheep and a few brothers here. I've got a greater work for you. Then God brings it into manifestation. And those brothers, they were used by God because they had a hatred for Joseph. They had a jealousy. They were so self-centered. They couldn't see the plan of God. Instead of sitting back and saying, wow, this is something, brother, we believe that God works this way, and we're just sitting back and we're going to watch. Oh, they hated him. They actually wanted to kill him. Can you imagine having people actually would like to take you out and kill you? So they did the next best thing. Get rid of him. Sell him. We'll make a little bit of money on it. Yeah. Good old Jew. And then when Joseph goes, and he goes through pure hell. He's in prison 7 years. Gets picked up by Potiphar. He's got tremendous skills. He's elevated to a position in the household. The wife, she's got a fixation for him. He's got his focus on God. Because of that, he gets thrown in prison. It's elevated again because God gives him interpretation of dreams. Finds himself at the right hand of Pharaoh. Finds the vision, the dreams being fulfilled. His brothers are sitting in the room, bowing down to him, just as he saw in the dream. Didn't understand it back then, but now he knows it. What does he say? He didn't say, I'm going to get back at you guys. I'm going to get even. He said, you didn't send me here. I know that now. I look back at the echo back when I had that first dream. I look at the echo when he threw me in the prison. Or he threw me in the prison down in the well. Then I got echoed into another prison, then another prison. But he said, God has elevated me. And now all of you brothers are echoing what God showed me back here. You are now the manifestation of the revelation. Sure. Oh, brother, the whole plan of God. Didn't Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived, except for when it came to women? Didn't he say, that which is to be has already been? Yeah. We are somewhere along God's great LP. Like Brother Vail called it, that cyclotron. It's just moving faster and faster and faster as you get toward the middle. As you get to the coming. Our whole nature changes. Our whole relationship with God changes. We've entered a peace. We've entered a confidence. Why? Because I saw it in William Branham? No, because I'm seeing it in me. You're seeing it in you. The echo becoming manifest. We find the text for this in John, 1 John 5:13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. How many people have sat in churches for how many years not really knowing? Not really knowing. You know why? Because they're not seeing. As we mentioned before, it is God working in you, both to will and to do. So if there's no doing, there's no willing. If there's no willing, there's no God. It all comes back to God. You've got to die to yourself. And then when you've died to yourself, God begins to take over. He begins first to will, and then the will echoes into a do. Jesus said the Son can do nothing but what He sees the Father do, and then the Son echoes likewise. That's in vision, invisible to everyone, but the one seeing the vision, he steps into the vision, he becomes the echo. Or he echoes. Put that way. He becomes a manifestation of what was there. Again, we find that word have here, not half as before, but the word have actually was translated from the Greek word echo as well. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have, that you echo eternal life, and that you believe on the name of the Son of God. Notice that you know that you're echoing. I'm not just repeating. I'm not just quoting. My life is actually becoming an echo. That's what he's saying here. We're not looking at the fact that you echo, but rather the fact that you know and are aware that you're echoing. See the difference there? Because then the echo is not just something being done out of rote, out of learning, as though you were able to simply repeat. Because to just repeat does not mean that you truly know and understand what you are doing or what you're saying. You talk to children, they use some big words sometimes because they hear you say them. They don't know what they mean. Right? But to know that you're echoing, oh, hallelujah, that's the confidence right there. To know that you're echoing back the same words as the Son means that you also understand that those words that you're saying, you understand what they are. And one step further, to know that your life is echoing gives you great comfort, knowing that it is not you that lives, but Christ is living in you. He's echoing his own life that he had back in Gethsemane. He's echoing it now again in you. How many people can quote the scripture verbatim and not even know what it is that they're saying? The denominational world is full of such people, and Jesus faced those people all the time. But to actually see your life becoming a living epistle known and read of all men ought to excite you because, as Paul says, I know that I, Paul, have died. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I, Paul, I'm alive. I'm living. Yet it's not I, Paul, that's living. But actually, it is Christ Jesus that is alive and living my life for me. And the life that I now live in this flesh, I'm living by the same revelation. I'm living by the echo of the Son of God, echoing that life of His over and over and over in my life. Not my will, but thine be done. Because after all, if your will is echoing God's will, then your life is reflecting God's life as well. For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he, and out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. From who do you say this is, Brother Asad? Again, the church. The church seeing him in his great power of manifesting what? Not manifesting a creed. He was manifesting the Word. He was the anointed Word himself. And when they seen that taking place, the manifestation, the anointed Messiah, they turned it down. They didn't want it. It wasn't in their case. That's the pitiful part. Just think of it. Just as in other days, see, each had their own interpretation of the Word. That's what the reason Israel didn't recognize Moses. That's the reason the world didn't recognize Noah. That's the reason all the prophets wasn't recognized. They, the people, had their own interpretation of the Word. But God in every age has had His Messiah. See? To reject Noah's message was to reject God. To reject Noah was to perish. To reject Moses was to perish. They were the anointed Messiahs for that age. the word that was promised for that age. And when Jesus came, he was the fullness of the word, God himself made into a man structured with bones and flesh, the anointed one, and they should have seen that. But you see, their church world has so added here and taken away there and so forth until it was so messed up till they trusted in their church instead of the word. That's why we have people with John 14:12 making a fuss over it. Brother Branham, you go to write, listen to the vindicated prophet himself. He talks about it thousands of times. Almost every time you hear him say it, he's saying it's for you. It's for every Christian. It's for every person. It's for every believer. But he says, because they trusted their church instead of the word. And when they seen their church anointed, then they thought something great was taking place. But when they seen the word anointed, then they said, that's fanaticism. This man is of the devil, of Beelzebub. Because it was so contrary to their creed, their church creeds, and what they had done. And it was that way in every coming of a prophet. The church was so messed up. And the reason they can't see John 14:12 is because they don't see it in themselves. That's why they say it's false. It's exactly right. Listen, if you see John 14:12 in your own life, how are you going to deny it? You can't deny it. By the way, Brother Matt says, did you know the Word of God never did come to a theologian? Find the scripture where it ever did. The word don't come to theologians, not at all. But see, if the word was made manifest today, the word for our day, it would be in the taste of God's word, not in the taste of somebody's idea. God would take his word that he promised for this day and anoint it, and it would happen. That's all. There's no way to keep it from happening. It'll do it anyhow. No matter what the church says and what the rest of them believers, and God will do it anyhow. There'll be just a very few that'll ever know about it. That's right. Just a very few. But it always was that. So you see, when we speak of the echoing of God's word, the understanding must be there, or the echo will not truly give a certain sound. But an uncertain sound. But we're looking at knowing what we truly echoing the Son of God, and thus we are echoing the very life that was manifested in the Son. He said, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you echo eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. And as I said earlier, knowing that we echo gives us a certain peace and rest from our own works, and we enter into an assurance of faith that brings us into a peace that surpasses all understanding. You find yourself saying the same thing God's prophet said. And when we're confronted by the same unbelief that he was confronted with, and I don't know how many times this has happened to me, when men will bring up questions or challenge our understanding of the doctrine of Christ, and I find myself just things coming out of my mouth that I hadn't even thought about. But when I check them out later, I find Brother Brown saying the very same thing. We talked about that last night. You've done the same thing yourself. That's an echo. Remember, Jesus said, he that will confess me before men, I will confess before my Father which is in heaven. And the word, and knowing the word confess, was taken from the Greek word homologio, which means the same words. I find it quite comforting to find myself saying the same words the Son of God said, because those are the words of life that came from the Father. And Jesus said, my words are spirit and they're life. Now, this rest we're speaking of is to take place in this hour, and is called by the Greek word parhesia, which means a certain boldness or confidence in speaking. The word parhesia means assurance and openly confident, absence of fear in speaking. The word parhesia is a Greek word used in Scripture to show assurance, open confidence, and an absence of fear. I place the Scripture among those which refer to the end time conditions of the elect. I actually have a whole study on it on the website. This condition of assurance, confidence, and absence of fear are a direct result of the parousia of Christ, his manifesting in his true character, and the fact that when he openly reveals who he is and why he's here, this brings the elect into a place where they now know and they understand their own position in Christ. That makes them bold and unashamed before him. You see, Joseph could get bolder and bolder as he saw himself being elevated to the right hand of Pharaoh. He saw the vision becoming manifested. Now, this word parhesia is a Greek word used in Scripture to show assurance and open confidence and absence of fear. Okay. 1 John 7:13. We read, howbeit no man spoke parhesia of him for fear of the Jews. In other words, these people didn't have confidence because they were focused on the Jews and not on Christ. This shows plainly that parhesia has to do with having no fear, and these people could not have parhesia, or absence of fear, and then have fear at the same time. They were too concerned with what others thought, and not concerned enough with what God himself thought. This is where parhesia comes in. When we have become so filled with a sense of honor to God that we have no other thoughts but his thoughts, that we are willing and wanting to express, but when people are looking for position with man, they will then trim their words to please man. But those with parhesia are those who, because they know who they are and that he's here, they're willing to say only what he said and do only what he says to do. They have placed the highest esteem in the vindicated word of the hour, and no other words have value to them. In other words, what we're trying to bring across is this. If you have such open confidence in him, then your echo will be a true echo. Because you're not going to add things to what he says. You're just going to say what he says, and you don't care. You could give a rip, like Brother Bell said, you know, give a rip what other people think. You only want to please God. Again, we read in 1 John 2 and 28, and now little children abide in him, that when he shall fanaru, to manifest in his true character, we may have parhesia, and not be ashamed before him at his parousia. This lets you know that God's children are to come to a condition of parhesia, or absence of fear, when Christ's great presence and disclosure is manifesting himself in the true character takes place. I see it. I'm seeing it all over the world, and I'm seeing it in you, brothers and sisters. There's a confidence, there's a building up, there's a boldness, there's a stand with what God says, regardless of what somebody else tells you. This lets you know that God's children are to come to that condition. Now remember, 1 John 3 and 1 and 2 says, when he phanaros, we too will phanaro, because we see his phanaro. So in essence, we begin to echo him. And in echoing him, we begin to manifest his word to the world. And thus, as his true character is revealed or openly manifested to us, we in turn begin to manifestly open our true character that was predestined in us from before the foundation of the world, which is the Word coming into manifestation again. In other words, it is another echo off of the original. And we know that since the spoken Word is the original, and then each time it's manifest, it echoes forth from the original again and again and again. Therefore, at this time, we come into a condition of uninhibited assurance and open confidence. This condition is a result of the unveiling of Christ. And brother, you're going to have that uninhibited assurance and open confidence when it comes to a body change. He comes not only as husband, but as our advocate and as our judge. And as husband, he does not have to testify against us. And as our advocate, he is our defense attorney. And as our judge, the case is sewed up. We are predestinated not to fall. He that has begun the good work in you shall perform it. He is the author, and he is also the finisher of our faith. And as Paul said in Galatians 2, we live by the faith of the Son of God. It is his faith we live by, not our own. Therefore, whom the Son shall make free is free indeed. What else could we ask for? This brings confidence as never known before. When he which gave the word, as Brother Brown said, is here to confirm it. In closing, we find in 1 John 4 and 17, there, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have parhesia in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. The more and more and more you conform to the image of the firstborn son, the more and more and more your love is coming to that perfection. As Brother Brown said, without perfect love, you won't be there. Notice, there's that echo again. As he is, so are we. The works that I do, shall you do also. There's your echoing the Son of God, and you're echoing the life of the Son of God. 1 John 5 and 12. He that echoes the Son echoes life, and he that echoes not the Son echoes not life. In other words, no John 14, 12, no life. Because John 14, 12 can only take place if you have the same life that was in the Son. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, that's your key right there, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we desired of him. And it's just a matter of time. I know he's answered my prayer. I know I've applied the token. I'm just waiting, God, to see the manifestation of that revelation.
In the day when the judge is present, which we find in James 5 and 9, Revelation 3 and 20, and John 12, 48, we shall have parhesia, which is an absence of fear. It also lets us know that this parhesia comes as a result of seeing him as he truly is, because as he is, so are we, and thus we know that we echo eternal life. This statement also assures us of a tremendous blessing in confidence or absence of fear. How could God deny any part of himself? He can't. Then how could he deny his seed? He can't. Then what have we to fear? He is here to ensure that we do not fall this time. And look, if he is here to save the righteous from perishing, and we are the righteousness of God through Jesus Christ, what have we got to fear? Let the whole world go to hell, because it's on its way. But we won't. We're in him. When he takes us up from the earth, when he goes from the earth, he takes us with him. And then when he, which is now letteth, will be taken out of the midst of humanity, then all things will come to him. Notice the statement alone assures us of tremendous blessing and confidence and absence of fear. In Ephesians 3 and 12, we read, in whom we have parhesia and access with confidence by the faith of him. And notice this uninhibited confidence or absence of fear comes by receiving his faith. It tells us that it comes by the faith of him. It is not our faith, but his faith that does this. Jesus was the first one to display this uninhibited boldness because he knew who he was and who sent him into the world. And we see in John chapter 6 and 7, 8, 9, and 10, taking on with confidence the Pharisees and the religious world leaders of his day and letting them have it with both barrels. And he knew what they had in store for him, but he knew also the Father was going to raise him up. Hallelujah. And you know what we have? A promise. He says, and if the same one that raised him up from the dead dwells in you, he's going to quicken your body. He's going to make alive your body to his promise. Again, we find the Apostle Paul speaking in parhesia in Hebrews 4 and 16. Let us therefore come with parhesia under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. God wants us to come into his presence by revelation with full assurance, and he has assured us that in doing so, we shall receive not only his mercy, but also his grace that will meet whatsoever requirements that we might lack. He that comes to God must believe that he is, not that you are, but that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. Now, if you don't know what the word diligent means, you better look it up. Diligent. It means you just don't let it rest. We must come in confidence that he hears us. The very fact that he has come down in this hour and has unveiled himself to his seed and has let us know him as never before and has established a relationship with us lets us see how much he loves us and wants to fellowship with us. That seen through the revealed work of this hour, our place in Christ and our relationship to God as our loving Father, we understand more fully our relationship that began in him before the foundation of the world, where we were in his thoughts and made manifest finally in this hour, what confidence this should bring to us. Because, look, it's just like when I was over in South Africa. There had been preachers come before me and they're preaching Godhead. And they're ramming home, Father, Son, Father, Son, Father, Son, one God, one God, one God. And the people just backed up. They didn't want nothing to do with it. They didn't like that the way it was being brought. And I recognized that when I got there, so I turned it around. I said, we have an older brother. We come in the pattern of the older brother. And as Billy Paul would say, you know, you have the front sight, the back sight. I said, you know, if you got the front sight, which is spoken, or the written word, you got the back sight, which is the spoken word. That's closest to us. If you don't line them up, you'll never hit your target. If you're looking through this alone, the front sight, you're not going to hit the target. If you're looking through the back sight, you're not going to hit the target. But when you line the two up, and now when you line up that relationship that the Father had with the Son, now you see the relationship we have to have with the Father. It's the same thing. And now when you look at the Son of God as being the pattern, and you're focusing through the Son of God, and you see a prophet lined up like that, the prophet of God and the Son of God, the Alpha and the Omega, and you see that pattern, and you're right in line with that pattern, God's in line with that pattern. Now you can see the whole purpose of God. You see? That's what we're doing. When you look at the manifested echo, then you read from the spoken word echo. You say, hey, saying the same thing here and here. Saying the same thing here and here. Then it had to be in there before the foundations of the world. Now I know where I came from. I came from Him because it echoed through here, it's echoed through here. Hallelujah. Amen. Cast not away therefore your confidence, your parhesia, which hath great recompense of reward. He has already blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, but we fail to receive what He has already assured us by promise. Therefore, Paul is telling us here that we must first receive this parhesia in order to receive every other predestined blessing, especially those promises that have to do with our placement and our inheritance. And notice here he says the parhesia has great recompense of reward. The more confident, listen, because why? When you are totally confident in God and His Word, that means you trust Him. That means you believe Him. You understand? If you don't have confidence, it shows you're not trusting God. And He says if you trust Him, the parhesia has great recompense of reward. Because that which was up there in Him before the foundation of the world, and then that which was spoken, and then that which was written, and now I see the manifestation of it. Now I'm entering into the reward. Didn't He say when He comes with His angels, He brings His reward? Hallelujah. Probably take a week on that one too. Now the word recompense is an award given as a form of retribution for hurt or damage. God knows that all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. So it gives us the boldness to stand when we have done all we can do to stand. And through faith and patience, we inherit the promises. We also see in 2 Thessalonians 1, 4 to 5, 7, and 10 to 12, that we receive a manifest token of God's judging us worthy. And thus we receive His very mindset, His very glory, His very doxa, and actually it says we enter into that ministry, He calls it, of His doxa. It's en doxazo, in doxa zoe. Zoe life, doxa, of course, opinions and values, and in, being in you, the life, the reflection in you. In John 16, 25 to 29, and we find Jesus speaking to the disciples the following about this parhesia. He said, these things have I spoken unto you in proverbs, but the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in proverbs, but I shall show you parhesia of the Father. I'm going to show you confidence. At that day you shall ask in my name, and I shall say unto you that I will pray the Father for you. For the Father himself loveth you because you have loved me, and have believed that I came out from God, and I came forth from the Father, and am come into the world. Again I leave the world and go to the Father, and his disciples spake unto him, lo, now speakest thou parhesia, and speakest no proverb. In other words, now we see the confidence. Now we know. You said, for this purpose have I come into the world. Jesus himself was full of parhesia, and he said that in the day when he discloses or unveils the mighty God before us, that we will also come into this state of parhesia and will not be inhibited in our prayer to God. We will know the will of God and the mind of God. We will show parhesia to us. Or he will show parhesia to us. This lets you know that we get this parhesia from something that is shown us or disclosed to us, and thus echoed to us, and thus echo it back to God from whence it came originally. In conclusion, in our text, we read of the importance to know that we echo the Son of God. And we found that it brings us into a rest in confidence or assurance of faith. And in this next scripture, we find the evidence of the parhesia. He says, beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we parhesia toward God. The condition of our heart is only inhibiting force in our parhesia toward God. In other words, when you know to do wrong and you do it anyway, to him it's iniquity. But if you do things and you didn't know it was wrong and you find out, you say, Father, forgive me, and move on. You see? There's no lack of parhesia there. Father, you know my heart. You know what I meant to do. I'm sorry I came out the wrong way. I'm sorry it was done the wrong way. But Father, you know that my will is to please you. And as your son Jesus said, My meat is to do the will of my Father. I always please my Father. So the condition of our heart is only the only inhibiting force of our prayers toward God. And as we saw earlier, our parhesia comes by His faith. We are assured of receiving His parhesia if we receive His faith. If we echo Him, we echo the Father. And how could God condemn you for echoing Him? Every father wants his children to echo Him and His words. In 1 John 5:14, and this is the parhesia that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. Notice that according to your will. That's what Jesus said. I have come to do thy will, O God. I have come to manifest openly thy thoughts and to echo thee, Father. What uninhibited confidence we have in Him, that we are assured that He will always hear us. In verse 13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you echo eternal life. And that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. And what is that is exactly what Brother Branham is telling us in the token when he said, and as you walk, you have confidence that the life of Christ is in you. And you are in Him. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we're so thankful, Lord, because we are walking in the light as you are in the light. We're not walking in the light of some other age. We're actually walking in the light that's given off from your presence. And as we walk in your presence, and as we walk in the light, we're walking. We're actually echoing. Because as you take a step, we got to take a step to keep up with you. You know, the Bible says, you know, he that does not keep pace with. And Father, we are keeping pace with you. Because as your prophet said, that we must be aware of your word as is coming to pass. And the reason why we are aware is because it's coming to pass in us. Hallelujah. What great confidence we have, Father, that when the voice begins, it'll begin first in us, because they without us cannot be made perfect. Hallelujah. That echo is echoing, it's reverberating, it's beginning to manifest in the lives of your children. And one of these days, that echo of the great shout will be the voice. It'll be your voice speaking, and the resurrection will take place. In Jesus' name we pray. And may we just echo that shout until it becomes a voice. Your voice. Echoing through your children. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I think the Lord, piece by piece, little by little, is giving us more assurance, taking us closer and closer to our resurrected body change. One of these days the tent will come. I believe, look, we're living in the last hour. There's no doubt we're living in the last hour. I believe with everything that lays within me, we're coming to the time of this spring. I believe we'll see the resurrection. If it hasn't already begun in us. And I believe we are seeing the resurrection in each other. I know I am. I'm seeing it in you, brothers. I've seen changes come over you, brothers, sisters. We're sitting in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Be praying every day for God to bring that tent, to fulfill the second half of the Omega. Because remember, Jesus had two ministries. He had before the resurrection. He had after the resurrection. I believe God's prophet will have, he already had the Omega reflection of Christ, and we're beginning to see that echoing in the children of God. And now I'm looking for that great time of the resurrection ministry. Amen. Let's sing that song together.
Make me a servant.